Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I've decided that we don't have to try anymore to not get fat until at least the election. Just maintain.
Really? So that's maintain. Like 20 days, sister. I mean, you know.
Why?
I don't know what that is.
A lot could happen in 20 days. Hello, everyone. It's Molly.
Oh,
welcome back to Make Me Smart. It's Happy Hour Friday, or as we like to call it, Economics on Tap. Have a sound effect today.
Oh, man, that's so good. Let's see. What are you drinking?
I swear to God, I'm not trying to troll you with what is about to happen. But I was looking in my fridge, and I was like, what do I want? And I don't have any beer. And then I was like, oh, look at this. My sister-in-law brought this over the other day when we had a first day of fall party. I'll try it. The Gourd Tree Pumpkin Cider.
Oh, my God. Molly, what the?
It was just my fridge. It was literally just hiding in there. It has pumpkins all over it. I just opened it. Here we go.
Oh, look. This is not... Why are you doing this to yourself?
Oh, that's delicious. That's really? Actually... Because it tastes like... Well, it tastes like apple cider. It's not pumpkin-y at all. It's like all cidery spices. Oh, that's
okay.
Super good.
All right.
I did not see this coming.
Okay.
Yum.
I obviously did not either.
What kind of fancy beer do you have?
So this is very interesting. So one of the benefits of having a child who is old enough to drink is that he can recommend beers to you. So he has recommended a beer to me. So I'm having a Hi-Li IPA out of Tampa, I think. I don't know where exactly they're from. Anyway, it's quite good. Also, so I told you last week that Thursday had been my birthday. So my daughter, clearly I'm drinking too much or perhaps not enough. My daughter got me a beer glass. Wait, sorry.
Aww. What does it say? Kai's beer glass.
Sorry.
Like no one touched my beer glass?
Kai's beer glass.
Children.
Right. So now I've got all the Kai PA glasses. I got six of those. Thank you, Stephanie Patterson.
Amazing.
and the product and social teams. Oh, speaking of which, I don't know if they did this for you. They sent me beer to get the taste of bad pumpkin beer that they made us drink out of my mouth. Did they send you anything?
Our social team sent me, they sent Patanga mix. It was the greatest thing ever. Like
there
somebody met the messenger showed up with a really nice reposado tequila and some Mexican Coke and two limes. And I was like, oh, well played, social team.
Props to the
social team.
Well played. For sure.
Props to Annika. Yeah. Amazing.
Yep. Okay.
The news.
I have brought two. I apologize. One of them, though, is a reprise. Sorry, I moved the mic. So it's only like a half of one. I just want to point out this thing I mentioned the other day, the U.S. Elections Project run by a professor out of the University of Florida. He's tracking returns of early ballots cast as a percent of 2016 total turnout. And I just think this is endlessly fascinating. Like the state of Texas has already returned 29.3% of its by mail, right, of its total turnout. Or early in person if they have that, right? Which is just incredible, right? Vermont, 42% of its 2016 turnout has already been returned. State of New Jersey, 32%. The state of South Dakota, 32.8%. It's kind of wild. It's kind of wild. Look, it's a signal of engagement, and it's changing the dynamic. I think it's really interesting that... while you're hearing candidates talk every now and then about how the election's going on now, they're still driving at election day. And I think they're missing the fact that, according to this website, sorry, let me get the actual number, 22,754,302 ballots have been returned already, which is just incredible. I just think that's wild. So that's my
point. Yeah.
At what, California?
16 point something percent.
Well,
no. Nationally, voters already cast 16.4% of the total votes counted in 2016.
Right.
That is fascinating.
Right. And,
I mean,
and you
this
gotta
turns
figure the rate
everything
of
on its head.
It totally does. It totally does.
Yep.
And look, I have said before, I'm not a fan of in-person and I'm not a fan of early voting. I'm not a fan of mail-in voting. I believe in the civic experience that is collectively going to vote on election day, assuming, of course, infrastructure and no 3-hour waits in black and brown neighborhoods, all of that stuff. But look, this is crazy. It's kind of wild.
Yeah. It really is. And I don't think anybody can predict which way it's going to go from here, because I'm assuming they can't do any early, you know, any polling about how people voted at this point. That would be total
They're not doing tabulating.
Right. Or even the what do they do? Where they ask them their questions immediately after they voted, like, who did you vote for? They're not doing that now, I assume, because
I assume
totally
they're not doing
the results.
I assume they're not doing exit polling, but I believe there some states that allow early tabulation, and then they put those under lock and key.
Right. So fascinating. So, did you see that in what's the county where Travis County? I believe is where Austin is in Texas, and just you know, big old county.
I don't know, but
almost 100% of registered voters of potential voters are registered to vote.
Are registered, right? Yeah,
which is phenomenal. I mean, finally, right? Because that is the thing we've been saying in this country for years and years. Is like, that's lovely that you guys have all these feelings, but maybe more of you should vote. It's happening, and I think that whole conversation about the blue wave and what election night actually means, like, it's nobody knows. This is great.
For sure.
This is nerd time. I'm
totally
just goofing off on this website now. Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally clickable, right? It's really interesting. It is. Tony will put it in the show notes, but it's the just Google U.S. Elections Project, and it'll hopefully come up. Okay. Second item, and I will just quote as a source, the Politico Playbook PM edition this afternoon. So Politico is obviously, as the name implies, a political newsletter and website catering to Washington politics. Their playbook is their scoop sheet, their cheat sheet of what's going on. It comes out early in the morning, and then they do an afternoon edition. The headline on the afternoon edition this afternoon was, "We regret to inform you that Larry Kudlow is saying things again." Larry Kudlow, of course, is one of the president's chief economic advisors, and he keeps saying things like, "We're having a V-shaped recovery," or, "I think the president could get Mitch McConnell to put a vote on the floor and pass a relief package." And those things are just empirically not true.
Yeah, you got to stop putting him on TV. That's certainly this guy.
That's what I got. Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm with you.
Over to you.
I now have two things because I had to add one thing because it was just so awesome and funny. And I think that it will be quick too. And I vacillated between these two stories all day because I was originally going to bring the story about how the Trump White House administration rejected a request for aid from California for its devastating wildfires, a move that the New York Times referred to as rare.
Amazing.
Rare refusal for disasters on that scale, including literally California's worst wildfire. And then my favorite character in our ongoing tragicomedy is pissed off Gavin Newsom, as you know.
Oh, I know.
And so pissed off Gavin Newsom immediately tweeted, "We are appealing this." And then like 3 hours later, pissed off Gavin Newsom tweeted, "Just got off the phone with Donald Trump, who's approved our major disaster declaration request. Grateful for his quick response," period. Like, do not trifle with pissed off Gavin Newsom. He's just like, "I fixed it. You're welcome." God.
And also,
like, you could just hear his tone.
That's a very bad impression, right? Very
and
bad
also
impression
Batman.
Of Gavin Newsom as Batman. He does have that Batman thing.
Totally.
He
Batman to the White House and fixed it.
That's right. So two thoughts. Number one is it has to be pointed out here that 65% of the forest land in the state of California is under federal management. 3% is under state management. So if you don't like the way we're sweeping the floors of the forests in this state, talk to your people, Mr. President. Number two, and this is a little sideways, but it's a thing I've been getting hung up on lately. If you want to look for a reason to abolish the Electoral College, which a lot of people are talking about right now, this is a really good one. Because the idea that the President of the United States can write off 40 million people simply because the state isn't going to vote for him, which it's not, is a defect in democracy, the way we do it.
Yep. And
you know,
it is a lot of Trump voters, too. Like, people who are voting for Trump will be hurt by this. In fact, in a lot of the counties that are on fire. Yeah, no, it is...
Yes, most of the counties that are on fire, probably, right? There are tens of millions of people in the places that are burning who voted for Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Sorry, no help for you because your state." Yeah. No, I mean, that's probably the best argument there is, really. That's insane. And then I just cannot walk by the increasingly staggering numbers. We talked about that. We did a whole show on what's happening to women in this pandemic. In over the course of August and September, 865,000 people left the workforce.
Right.
617,000 women. I'm sorry. Yes, I've lost the thread. Yeah. 865,000 women left the workforce compared to something like a little over 200,000 men. 617,000 of them left the workforce in September alone.
So one of my constant refrains in this podcast the last 6 months has been, we don't know what it's going to look like on the other side, because your restaurants are going to be closed, your dry cleaners are going to be closed, the grocery stores, bodegas, you know, whatever. I think this is arguably a bigger deal, right? That a million women, right? A million women have left the workforce because we are not supporting them in their childcare responsibilities, which overwhelmingly fall on them. This work from home thing, which overwhelmingly is distracted by the childcare responsibilities, and then of course the schooling thing. This will change the workforce for a generation.
It will change the workforce for a generation, and it will damage our progress as a country for a generation also, because any economist worth his or her salt will tell you that if you don't have equal participation by men and women in an economy, you don't have the productivity that you could have.
Right.
I mean, this is this plus, you know, what we're talking about in Marketplace Tech on Monday, the learning loss of all of these kids being at home, and how unevenly distributed that learning loss is, and how that's going to set people's skills back for years and years and years. Like I quoted an estimate by the OECD that says it could account for something like $15 trillion in lost productivity in the U.S. economy. Just the learning.
Totally believe that. There was an interview on another public radio program whose initials are Morning Edition this morning with Emily Oster. I don't know how to pronounce it. She's at Brown, I think. She's an economist. Won the Bates Medal, I think, a number of years ago. Anyway, a high-power economist. And her thing, she's been collecting the data. And her thing is, we have to get the kids back in school. We have to get the kids back in school. K through 12 is proving not to be a huge source of transmission. Mm-hmm. Colleges, forget it. It's a train wreck. K through 12 is proving, relatively speaking, not to be a huge source of transmission. And, oh, by the way, factor in the damage that we're doing keeping these kids out of school versus the protection we're giving them by keeping them at home. And I think it swings in great preponderance to let's get them in school. You know, and that goes to exactly what we're talking about with the women and the moms not being able to work.
And get states and districts the money to do it safely and get it done. Yeah. And we have wasted the entire fall. We're likely to waste the entire winter. There's not even questions about it in town halls and debates. Like, it's just, it is falling through the cracks.
I know. It's crazy.
How is this not the story?
Props to Savannah Guthrie for going at the president last night, not letting him do what he's done to a lot of interviews, which is steamroll. But also George Stephanopoulos at the same time on ABC. I'm not sure I heard a whole lot about, and granted I was flipping back and forth, about schools and kids and all of that. Lots about the macro coronavirus stuff, but I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah,
oh my God, we're running
long. We got a long road to recovery, and now we're gonna have to turn
Charlton
to smiling.
Hale. I think it's Charlton. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I saw yours, and I abdicated my responsibility because yours is amazing. So go.
It's so great. So good that I had it.
It's amazing.
Props
it's amazing.
To Michael Lipkin, who posted this in our tech editorial channel. I immediately stole it at 8:42 a.m., courtesy of Good Morning America.
Got to get up pretty early.
And it's like, it's the good side, I guess. The silver lining in what happens when kids are learning from home, because... And we brought the sound. It's a video that's been going around Twitter, courtesy of GMA. Like I said, what happens when a second grade teacher gets kicked off a Zoom call, and then one of the students are like, "Yay!" But one of them realizes that Zoom is recording.
Because if the principal finds out that video of if we were being bad right now, she would see us being very bad, and we would be in big trouble with our parents.
Well, what is toast?
Toast
means we're in trouble.
Mm,
I want toast.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I want toast. I love them.
I want toast.
It led to a whole chat. I want you guys to know in both Slack channels about who was which kid, because there's the one, the very buttoned up child who's like, it seems like it's recording. And then not only will the teacher be mad, but the principal will be mad too. And then there's one little girl that I'm not going to lie, I kind of identify with. And she's like, they don't have our phone numbers. She's like, they can't get us. And then a whole long talk about
it. They will find you.
It is wonderful. You've got to go watch the video.
You do.
It'll make you smile all weekend long.
And spare a thought for your kids who are trapped on Zoom for 6-something hours a day.
Boo-boos.
I did an hour-long thing the other day, and it killed me. I don't understand how kids are doing it.
I know.
Truly don't.
Totally
anyway.
Not. Yep. Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Friday.
That's
3:47
it.
3:47 p.m.
Friday.
Here in Los Angeles. Thanks for listening. We are coming back on Monday. In the meanwhile, send us your answers, would you please, to the Make Me Smart question, which is, once again, what is something you thought you knew, but you... What is something you thought you knew, but you later found out you were wrong about? Do a voice memo, or if you have to, an email. But send it to us, makemesmart@marketplace.org. Instructions on how to do that, by the way, from Tony Wagner in our show notes.
See you then.
Oh, there it is.
That was me tapping my beer to be like, guys, drinking too much beer. So
really?
Happy.
Oh,
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera, who we are so, so lucky to have. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Ben Hethcote produces video with the help of our video intern, Ethan Parrott. So we're just going to have to flip-flop that sentence any day now. Wink, wink.
Right.
And Erica Phillips writes our newsletters and the Make Me Smart skill on your smart device.
I think we should just call him beloved video
Sorry,
intern
Ben.
Ethan Parrott. Anyway, today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. I think, I don't know, I'm in my shed at home, so I can't actually see him. Our theme music was composed by Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez. The senior producer is Donna Tam. The executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. And that is it for us on a Friday. We are out of here. Holy
cow. Happy weekend.
Days go like weeks, but the weeks go like
Friday.
Days.
Friday.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.